I'll take it back to Makers anyway, and we'll just see
what question you want.
Now, Andrew, would you start on angels, please?
Now, to begin with, I must say that the angels are not winged creatures and nice faces. They are set pattern proportions, intellectual pattern proportions, as built being self-conscious. As we are intellect and our mind is self-conscious. That we have a body and neck and feet and they haven't got. Now, what I mean by a set of proportions is something which we have to investigate from different angles. If I see you and see somebody else, I recognize you from this somebody else by this set of proportions on your face.
Yes.
That's essential what I see. I recognize a chair from the table by a set of proportions. So we have to realize that we are constantly moving in our perception, whatever it is, whatever sense we use is a set of proportions as such. And this set of proportions is perceptible. And if we connect this set of proportions together, then we have a picture of a man or of an object or of a sensation. So the set of proportions as such reigns throughout our perception. Now, angels are something of a set of proportions in this sense, without being incarnate, that means without having body. But if you take, for instance, a mental formation, a personality as such, the personality is a set of proportions as well. And actually, in theology, we know that the virtue of prudence is the very phenomenon which brings the set of proportions to the balance.
Prudence,
the balancing factor in the character of a person, which tells you not too much and not enough.
Yes.
And not less enough, just at the right proportion. Now, this is the habit, a good habit, which we usually call the virtue has a proper and pleasant association. So I usually call it a good habit,
yes,
which has a certain mental, certain proportion. Now, once we have established and said what we have in mind when we say about a set of proportions, we have to establish further that the set of proportions is also reflected in our field. Because the field is the result of your physical, emotional, and mental life, is a function of it. And about the field, I understand you want me to build later on, so I won't expand now. But the field is a certain set of proportions, and according to the way you think and you imagine things, you send respective impulses throughout your body by your emotional, even minute stress. And that produces a changes in your field, which is that again is a set of proportions and reflects your moods. Now, once you conceive the field as something which is outside your body as a set of proportions, and which is actually related to electromagnetic phenomena as well as mechanical phenomena and sound, then you realize that when I talk about an angel as a set of proportions, be aware of yourself. I'm talking about this.
Yes.
More, if you will realize later on from this theory of field that your thinking is going in the field and not in your mind, in your brain, the brain is only transformer.
Yes.
Then, transformer from the immaterial set of forces to material set of forces, or exteriorization into the material field, then you realize what an angel is. You can call it set of proportions in the field, which is actually not a secondary field, and clearly secondary field boils down to electromagnetic and sound phenomena, but it's a primary field, which we have too, that we call soul, but if you want to expand about this conception of soul, you go to that, and not too, then you realize that just an angel is a primary field, without manifestation in the material body. But I suppose that it can create a manifestation in the physical field, that means electromagnetic and solid. by the power of his will and of his consciousness. And this, an angel who is your partner in life, who is somebody who has a similar set of proportions as you have, and therefore he is in relationship with you, as we call it our angel guardian.
Yes.
Well, the name is irrelevant. That doesn't count at all. It is your partner. It is somebody who fits with your set of proportions, and therefore he is connected with you. As your set of proportions and mental set of proportions are outside space and time. And therefore the angel, your partner, is outside space and time. It doesn't matter whether you are here or you are there. The set of proportions is everywhere with you.
Yes.
As such, because a set of proportions is 3, 4, 7, 8 and so on, is not necessarily bound with space and bound with time. Yes. Outside all these phenomena. Now this is an angel. Now these set of proportions can be compared to kaleidoscope, to pictures you can observe in kaleidoscope, which you have to imagine not in two dimensions but in three dimensional space, which is always very beautiful. Although it may be called as an abstract. Usually, because the set of proportions produces a certain kind of stress in space, therefore it can be represented as a set of proportions of light. And thus I see this light set of proportions, which is so beautiful that you can't, you're absolutely fascinated by it. You can't take your eye from it.
And you can't really describe it.
It's impossible to describe an abstract. How can I abstract?
Yeah.
It's a personality for itself. And mind you, according to theologians, every angel is a species for itself.
A species for itself?
Species for itself, because it's a totally different pattern.
So that each one is unique.
Each one is absolutely unique.
As is each human being.
It is, yes, each human being is, and as every atom.
Even down to
a yes, because it's a pattern for itself.
Yes.
Now you see, you remember I told you that human sets of proportions or plant sets of proportions, referring to the works of Hans Kaiser and the harmonics, it's always a harmonic phenomenon. And under these set of proportions, if you take the standard, that's a middle C in the piano, 250 cycles per second,
yes,
then the set of proportions, the next one, octave, is twice as much. 512. The next one is 1024 octave, and so forth. So you have, in relation to the first one, which will be represented 1 over 1, that's the standard one, the second will be 2 over 1, and the third will be 3 over 1. Yes?
3 over 1 or 4 over 1?
Or 4 over 1. 4 over 1, not 3 over 1. 3 over 1 will be G.
Yes.
If you go downwards from the middle C, you have 1 over 2, 1 over 3, 1 over 4. Another fraction, but the reverse proportions. You follow?
Yes.
So once you get into the world of proportions as such, which are always musical proportions, by the way, certain kinds of proportions are only for me, and the others are eliminated, which is known to be a known feeling. Then you go in this in a world where 3/4 or 7/8 is irrespective of space.
Yes.
Absolutely irrespective of space. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's of atomic size or astronomic size, it's still 7/4.
Yes.
And therefore, every atom and every astral body will have its own partner in the spiritual world, in the certain proportions of a pure mind.
Yes.
And that comes together with the statements of all theologians, Thomas Aquinas included, that every planet has its own angel, its own partner.
Yes.
But concluding from our investigation, every atom will have its own partner as well. Because it's a set of proportions. And we think, how can be a small atom have a partner of an angel, or I can understand the planet. We know from the Bible that, for instance, that every region, every land has its own angel.
Yes. Yes.
From the Bible, you know that.
Yes.
But how on earth every atom
simply because we are still having in mind the size.
Yes.
But in the world of proportions, there is no size.
Yes.
The proportions is as such. And the funny thing is that we are still constantly moving in the world of proportions, but we always refer that to a certain size.
Yes.
And not as a set of proportions.
Right.
And here is the difference between the spiritual and the material world. We have to abstract from the science, and then we are in a totally different world, on a different level.
Yes.
But still, in a set of proportions.
Yes.
Now, this what, from this conversation, you can understand what the angels are.
Yes. Now, at the stage thing we try, should ask one or two questions, or not yet?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
I would now say a few words about the different levels of angels.
Yes, please.
The scripture tells us about 9 choirs. Well, maybe that they've exhausted the whole thing, I don't know. Maybe 9, maybe infinite, something of levels. I don't know, I have not a clue. But the fact is that these levels are so distinct from one another that, according to Thomas of Aquinas, a lower angel cannot talk to a higher angel, much higher angel, unless through usual channels, because he speaks a different language. That means he speaks a different set of proportions. He has in mind a different set of proportions which will not fit with a very high up set of proportions. So he has to go through the usual channels, from one choir to another, and then the higher angel will understand what he's talking. In other words, if I talk to you German, you don't understand, I can't communicate with you because the language has a different set of proportions. Vocal proportions. But in the angelic world, you have a different phenomenon which is called the grace, or the participation in divinity, sanctifying grace, not actually sanctifying grace. And this is a participation in the divine light and in the view or under the enlightenment of divine set of proportions, which are unique for itself. They can communicate immediately between one another. You follow?
Yes.
So here you have the speech of the angels. They send one set of proportions to another mind, and they try to tune in. But if you talk and if you have a long wave set, you can't tune in with ultra short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Impossible. But if you have a converter,
yes,
then you can.
Yeah.
So the same thing is between the angels. The lower angels are much more complicated, and the higher you go, they are more simple. As the theologian said, that God conceived the whole world through one only word. That means one concept, and that is his own son. The highest angel must have at least 2 concepts for the whole world. And then they go down. We have immense concepts for each particular object before we understand. And it always a set of proportions by which this set of proportions enter our mind of set of proportions, the mind adjusts its set of proportions to this set of proportions we want to conceive, and then they merge together and we understand what meaning is.
Yes.
So we have to understand that the angels are set of proportions harmonically related. Harmonious, but of a different kind. And here you have the explanation of the choir. The third thing which is essential for angels, that they are serving spirits. As St. Paul puts in his letter to the Hebrews. What does it mean? That the essence is to serve and not to be served. As Christ said when he came, I came to serve and not to be served. They are obedient, who like God, another expression of the Bible, St. Michael said, or Our Lady said, I deserve greatness, my Lord, let it be according to his will. Now, what does it mean, obedience? It doesn't mean obedience, it doesn't mean that I give you orders and you follow it. You are listening to the laws of nature. And then when you are listening to the law of nature properly, and you grant the law of nature, and according to the law of nature, you will be with an angel, then an angel will obey you.
Resonance.
Yes. So, obedience means a resonance to fit into somebody else's pattern in order to cooperate. Spirit of Serving spirit means willingness to cooperate with somebody else, and not only with somebody else, but with the whole universe. Because they grasp the harmony of the universe as something which will fit with them and will enlarge their consciousness and will give them infinite possibility of joy and relaxation. When the whole universe is playing with them, the game, and they play, they're playing the game with the whole universe. That is a serving spirit. The spirit which says, I shall not serve, is, I want the universe to fit with me, but I shall not fit with the universe. And therefore, I'm miserable myself, and that is the principle of those who have revolted.
Yes.
You follow?
Yes.
So here you have the explanation of the serving spirit. They want to cooperate, and they are willing to do anything they can in order to play the game with the partner they are connected with. The lower angelic choir is the guardians, that means those who are specifically related to a certain object. And then the next one is the archangel, the next one are principalities, and so on, go up to seraphims, which are glowing spirits of love in front of God, such. So here, once you grasp that they are spirits, serving spirits, they will, although they will not interfere with your pattern, they let you play your music of harmony. But if you tell them to do something about your music, because you are not very good in the yet master of your instrument for which you have to play, then they will do everything possible to help you. And in the matter of fact, they will always obey. But you can't give them a better pleasure than to tell them what you want from them, because then they will mend your instrument, they will teach you to master your own instrument, so that they can enjoy the harmony coming from you.
Yes.
You follow?
Yes.
And play the game with you.
Yes.
And that is in their own business, to do whatever they can with you, but they respect your individuality, and they will not interfere unless you tell them what you want to do. Now, as every angel has its own specific set of patterns, every angel has a different function. One angel maybe is the function of your whole, and that is your boss. But there are angels of each of your atoms and each of your organs which coalesce through the whole, and therefore you have millions and millions of angels to your service of the body. You have another set of proportions, which is your mental personality, with different needs and different moods, different specific pattern for your moods of joy, and another for serenity, and another for anger, and another for your need of money. So, in each case, there is a different angel who is in charge of these things.
Specialist.
Special. Specialization. And they are specialists. You can fit in any choir you want, but they can't. They are fixed in one pattern, and they can develop the pattern. But you can.
I see, that's an interesting thought. They can't switch.
They can't switch from one pattern to another. They are fixed. Because they haven't got a liver or lever to change. You can switch from the body to the field, from the field to the body.
Yes.
This is not you are not a closed physical system. Well, they are. So you can absorb two choirs, three choirs, five choirs, and you can fit in any of them or in all of them at once. The angelic choirs actually represent the higher of yourself, where you contain the whole possibility that they have. And therefore, Christ, as the Redeemer of the universe, must be a man, because he has all the potentialities, whereas any other creature has got none.
That's fascinating. I mean, even the angels can't.
No, they can't. They can't switch from one place to another.
Can man help the angels up the scale?
No, because they are fixed by the nature.
They are fixed by nature.
By the set of proportions, but you can still change the set of proportions. In within the realm of their nature, they can develop tremendous little possibilities. I mean, if you have a keyboard, you can play anything on this keyboard, but you can't go from the keyboard into the guitar, because the keyboard hasn't got the guitar strings and the guitar sound.
Yes.
Whereas you have all the instruments of the orchestra.
Within you.
Within you. Yes. So you can go anywhere you want. Oh, this is the greatness, potential greatness of human beings.
Potential, yes.
Potential. It all depends on you, whether you will develop one instrument, or strings only, or strings of brass, and percussion.
Yes.
whatever you want.
It's a terrific possibility.
It's wind. You go into the wind.
Tremendous.
It's fantastic how the human being is great and how far he can develop. With the help of this very set of mental set of proportions engine. And you have to give them, to tell them what you want, and then they will do it once. But they can for your benefit. And I've told you several examples how the answers helped me in different ways. So inexpectedly, I was amazed how they care about my taste, for instance, in eating something. When somebody prepares me something that I don't like and forgets about it, and don't give it there.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then the lady writes to me that I've forgotten that because she imagines it's a delicatessen and I can't stand it.
Yes.
And she forgets it purposely by the handler. The forgetfulness has been made by the empress in order not to treat them with his style because I can't stand it. Well, it's amazing how they do this. I have no parking problem in any town if I want to, if I think in advance. But you remember always to thank them for what they do. And somebody suggested very rightly to thank them in advance.
Yes.
And then you have no bother. When you receive something, you are so thrilled that you got what you wanted. But you may forget to thank. Well, if you thank in advance, then you're done. Now the emperor says it's not so good, so well, that you better thank them later on too. Because they have to educate your spirit of thankfulness.
Yes.
Which is extremely important to what they say now, that it's extremely important for the development of your personality, in a sense. I still don't understand that, and they say that I shall understand it later on. But not. The thankfulness opens yourself to a certain possibilities from high, and they can infuse the higher power in you when you are thankful, when you are obvious.
I think I can understand that. Thankfulness is a rejoicing, it's an expansion.
It's expansion,
yes.
But I can't yet properly grasp it, and they say that I shall grasp it later on. Well, fair enough. Mm. I'm thanking them just now for that.
Meantime, it still works.
Meantime, it still works, and it works so amazingly. Sometimes I think that it lets me down. And next moment I found that they just did what was the best for me. So I'm never discouraged when something doesn't crop up as I want, because I know that they are doing the proper thing so that the whole thing can crop up in the best possible sense. And that is the spirit, the angelic world, which once you have developed a sense of proportion, of proportionality, I should say a sensitivity to it, a clairvoyance to it, I should say. You live with the world of proportions. Then you contact them immediately, because it's proportion to proportion.
Yes.
But when you are so stiff with material science, and you don't conceive that what we see with material world is a set of proportions, you say, that is beautiful. Why? Well, it's beautiful. The flower is beautiful. Why? Well, I don't know. It's beautiful. Eventually, when you dig a little further, you see because it's a beautiful set of proportions. In fragrance, or in the shape, or in the color, in the whole thing, and in the vicinity, because the flower will grow according to all the fields impinging on the flower. And it will be beautiful in the respective surroundings. Now, if you abstract from the shape, material shape, and you go in a set of proportions, and you start to live with it, then you have contact with the angelic world. And you start to perceive it, not with the human eye, because you can't see the shape, but you can see the set of proportions.
And well, that's fascinating. Now, one of the questions I know is going to come up is something on which we've had partial teaching, is the stream of evolution within which the angelic forces move. So that, for example, this last weekend at Ashland, Edward de Crombie was speaking on Pan and nature spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Into what relationship with Pan and nature spirits does the angelic hierarchy, as you just described it, relate? Is it one and the same stream? Are
can and his nature spirits all part of the same set of proportions? Is there no split? It's all just one angelic stream?
I think that there is only one set of proportions evolution throughout the universe, throughout the creation.
Throughout creation.
And as you have solid, liquid, gas, what further? You must have a further development. And the omniscientist, scientists will say, well, I can't touch it, and then the problem doesn't exist, or I can't smell it. Well, this is absurd,
yes.
Because he can't touch a set of proportions, but he perceives that.
Yes.
He can't touch a set of proportions of musical tones, but he perceives, and what he actually enjoys is this sequel of set of proportions.
Yes.
But he doesn't sing, he's just the people, the materialistic people are absolutely thoughtless. They can't perceive what actually they are digging and dealing with.
Yeah. Well, now, Andrew, another question, a subsidiary one to that. In your vision, can there be any interchange between angelic beings and human beings?
Constant.
So that an angel,
constant.
An angel could become incarnate.
Ah, here I don't know. We have instances about, for instance, Tobias. Well, there is an old tale that Melchizedek was, for instance, an angel who came to Palestine and set all sorts of things. We don't know how many angels we perceive on the street, which may be an infinite angel, which we think is a man.
Mm-hmm.
They can perhaps assume a shape of a plant or an animal. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue. Here I can't give you an answer because
no. It's
a totally different world.
Yes.
But I'm quite sure that they can, in a certain environment and for certain necessities, being serving spirits, to assume different shapes, human or not.
And if necessary, appear.
And if necessary, appear. To the human
earth.
In other words, materialize, what does it mean? Condense the air in such a way that the reflection of light will be, and the reflection will be done. And therefore, they condense the field, in other words. And therefore, you will perceive that through your eye. If you want a sense of touch, well, they will condense it further on, condense the energy. Because obviously, they are very powerful in disposing of the energy. Matter is nothing else than condensed energy, or say the condensed lines of space in a certain set of proportions, a set of pattern. So I suppose that they can do mental perfect work, as we do by thought forms.
Andrew, thank you so much. Now, which would be the next logical one to move across to?
I should a little bit yet about this spirit, the natural spirit.
Yes, please.
I've told you about a scientist here in this country who started to make an experiment with a revolving arm in that.
I didn't think so.
Well, it was a revolving arm about 2.5 yards long on a tripod, and it could revolve 360 degrees around.
I beg your pardon, yes, you did, but do please repeat for that.
And in the center was
the missing segment.
Yes, well, in the center was a radioactive material,
yes.
And at the end was an electrode connected to the amplifier and the loudspeaker.
Yes.
Now, when he put in the container an element, then the discharge will be moving the arm around 360 degrees around. Relative to the magnetic field, the discharge for a certain specific element will be always at a certain angle to the magnetic field of the earth.
Yes.
And he established that there is a logical sequence from hydrogen to the higher elements up to uranium, and then started the lower life things higher and higher to the human being. And each of these elements has its own angle of discharge.
Yes.
Well, discharge was most pronounced. But there has been about 90 degrees free left. And he asked me, what's there?
Yes.
And I said, I don't know, but probably there are higher beings than we are. and they would discharge there, but you can't put anything in the container. Well, it would be interesting to watch whether, if you think about the higher being, for instance, of Pan, suddenly have a discharge in a certain angle or latitude, then you'll know that that relates to nature spirits, whatever they are. I mean, Lapicon is only an appearance of a nature spirit or receptive force, which is of a different nature that it doesn't, our eye doesn't perceive simply because it doesn't reflect light. Or they have the secret of putting around themselves a shell which will not permit light to pass through. Or will bend the light around. And then the light will not reflect from them, and therefore we don't see them. I mean, it's quite easy to conceive an instrument which will be found by men, which will put a field around yourself so that the light will bend around the field, and therefore you will be invisible.
Fascinating.
It's obvious. Yeah. That can be done.
Yeah.
The problem only, what kind of material you have to use which will bend the light. But the phenomenon is known by surveyors. So they measure a point and they establish where this point is, and the next day the point is 3 yards.